Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
And welcome to the Final Femme podcast. My name is Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Jack. Hi, Jack.
Why, hello there. Hey, Seth. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing dandy.
Ooh, dandy. That's exciting.
Dandy.
Is it? I know. And I said that's exciting.
Dandy.
Fuck off. Anyways, it's our 50th episode. Yay!
All right.
We did it! Woo! What is your problem? We're so happy to have
you're covering
all of you
the
here.
High end. I'm going low. Come on, we're harmonizing this. Okay, whatever.
We are harmonizing.
No, it is
thank
awesome.
You.
50 episodes.
I know. I can't believe
our
it.
Podcast is old.
I mean,
Sid.
Okay. Well, when we say 50, we're not including the Chompers episode.
That's
also,
true.
Has it been? It's been 2 years, right? Didn't we start this in like June of 2023?
Yeah.
Pretty sure we did.
Checks phone.
Yeah. Pretty sure with like. Thinking back on life things, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's when it was. So that's incredible. It's 2 years, 50 episodes. Thank you for joining us. And if you want to help us out, you can tell your friends or post about us on social media or whatever. Spread the word.
Yeah.
But we're happy to be here. We kept this episode a secret. So we are doing The Nightmare Before Christmas because we wanted to do something fun. Yay.
Boo.
Okay. Jack, had you seen this movie before?
Oh, hundreds of times as a kid. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It's a good movie. It was good then. It's good now.
I agree. It stood up. I always get a little nervous about going back to visit movies that you love like as a kid,
sure.
But it still stands up.
It absolutely
holds
does.
Up.
And you know what the best part is, Sid?
Yes,
you
Jack.
Guess?
Go ahead and say it.
That's the best part is hour and 16 fucking minutos. It's so beautiful. It was
yeah,
beautiful.
She's a short one, which is good too. If you're like, oh, I should watch a Christmas movie because it's that time of year, but also I don't want to get invested in something that's too long, you can just pop this on. And I promise you the songs will get stuck in your head because they're stuck in our heads now.
Yeah. The songs are great. And I will say, I'm not really a musical guy, so as far as watching musicals, I like
sure.
music, but I don't really like it in movies, but these songs are really catchy. Danny Elfman did a really good job writing them, so.
He did, and we'll get into it, but the person who plays, because Danny Elfman did the music for this movie, but he also is Jack Skellington as our main character, and Danny Elfman is the singing voice for that, which... Hats off to Danny Elfman, because
wow.
I didn't know you could sing like that, my guy. Like, your voice is beautiful. I didn't know. I was unaware.
Your voice sounds like it should be coming out of a skeleton head. It's beautiful.
You know? Well, it's funny, too, because he didn't want to do the speaking parts because he thought his, like, line delivery was too wooden. And I'm like, really? Because it's
wooden.
You sound great when you're singing, and there's a little bit of speaking parts in there. So I'm not sure what he's talking about. You're great, Danny Elfman.
Maybe he just didn't want to look like he was hogging it by taking 75% of the budget since he was the...
He's like, this is all for me.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you haven't seen it, The Nightmare Before Christmas is a claymation animated movie. I guess it's not animated if it's claymation, but...
Stop motion.
It came out October 20... Yeah, stop motion. It came out October 29th, 1993. And a very quick plot is... Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween Town, discovers Christmas Town, but his attempts to bring Christmas to his home causes confusion. A bit of an understatement, yeah. IMDb, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. I mean, some people were kidnapped and threatened. That's an understatement.
Understatement. So it's directed by Henry Selick. The writers are Tim Burton, Michael McDowell, and Caroline Thompson. Stars Danny Elfman, Chris Sarandon, and Catherine O'Hara, which I didn't know that Catherine O'Hara plays Sally, which is bananas.
And again, like, it's like, you know, I watched this when I was really young, so I didn't pay attention to who was voicing them. But yeah, I was surprised to see Catherine O'Hara attached to this too. So she must be, and there's other ones in this too, that maybe they just like work with Tim Burton a lot because she was in Beetlejuice too. So
yeah, that's true. Tim Burton, kind of like Mike Flanagan, like holds on to his favorites and works with them a lot. Okay, so box office for this. Let's see. The estimated budget was $18 million.
Okay. Wow.
Opening weekend, it made $191,000, $232. But gross worldwide, it made $108,772,062. So she made her money back.
Both of those numbers are lower than I thought. Like the opening day, I figured would have been crazy, but
opening day surprised me, but the gross worldwide, I'm kind of surprised we haven't had a second one, but also really grateful because I don't need a Nightmare Part 2.
Nightmare on Elm Street has that you know covered.
You know how they'll do that? Like, oh, this is really successful, so let's like make 50 sequels and milk the hell out of it.
Absolutely. It might be, and I think you're going to get into this, it might be partly because this movie was very difficult to make. Maybe they're like, fuck you. You couldn't give us enough money to make another one of these.
Yeah, honestly. I think, didn't they say it took 3 years to make? Which is
3 years,
crazy because it's nuts. I mean, yeah, because it's claymation. And it looks so smooth. Like, it's such a good movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it. And this is not scary. Like, it's PG. When it first came out, I saw this on the Forest app when I was watching it, Jack. So apologies. I know. But when it first came out, it's technically under Disney, but Disney didn't put their name on it originally because, like, at least not on the opening banner, because they didn't want kids to get scared. So it, like, geared more towards teenagers. Now they have it up. And I was surprised. Oh, I was like, wait, this is Disney?
They're happy to cash in on the fucking cow now that they know how much
money. Well, now.
Fucking Disney.
All right. So taglines, Jack, you ready?
Yes. I'm professional.
Well, they're so ready. Their official tagline is Tim Burton's classic returns in 3D, so real it's scary. That's a terrible tagline.
Returns? Wait a second. Did they re-release that? I think they re-released it in 3D.
They must have.
Well, that's dumb, IMDb. Get your shit straight. That's not the original tagline then, right?
No. A ghoulish tale with wicked humor and stunning animation?
That sounds like it would be the right one. But also, that's just a description of the movie. Like, that doesn't...
these aren't good.
Sid, we can brainstorm some here, right here. You got Halloween, you got Christmas. How do you mesh those? We should come up with a better tagline.
Okay.
We can do this.
What do you want to come up with?
Hold on.
All right.
You can edit all the silence, whoever is on this. Sid, are you doing the editing for this one? I think you are. So just take note of the timestamp. What was that? Mm-hmm. Just spit take?
That would be a terrible idea if I was in charge of editing.
It's all silence.
It would just be me sobbing in the background.
Well, that's pretty artistic.
Thank you. Just an hour of me crying.
All right. So this Halloween, get ready to hang your pumpkins on the tree and put your pie in the eggnog. Pumpkin pie in the eggnog. That's my tagline.
It was a strong start. I don't know about the pie finish, but I like the pumpkins in the tree. let's see.
Yes.
Skeletons hung by the fire.
Oh.
Twinkle like in the vampire's eye. Get ready for Nightmare Before Christmas. Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to think of scary things.
Hey, Sid, I like that first part, skeletons, but that second part.
Did it suck? Welcome to our 50th episode. We're going to be a little punchy today.
I like that. Like, skeletons hung by the chimney with care. Like, just take that thing and insert Halloween stuff. That's good. Better than what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it's better with the
Halloween part's hard to come up with. Well, that's true. It's better than what they used to. Fuck them. Speaking of producing, though, and editing, where is Jeremy? Have you seen him?
You're the new Jeremy. I'm sorry.
That's a terrible choice. Okay, where's our actual new Jeremy?
So, do you know, I mean, if you don't want to know what happened to Jeremy, I can just skip straight to his replacement because that would be
no, no. No, I would like to know.
Okay. Mm-mm. Well, mm-mm. What did Blair Witch do for any of us other than inspire us to go camping in the woods?
And blow our nose.
Someone needs to blow their nose, yeah.
Gross.
Letting that shit drip on the camera, you're going to short it out. So,
oh, God.
You almost make yourself puke. Okay.
Yes.
Well, maybe you should plug your ears because I'm about to relay Jeremy's great. Death. And I did say death. He is dead.
Oh, rest in peace, Jeremy. So Jeremy
went into the woods, thought he'd have a little solo camp adventure. He filmed it. You know, he wanted to like film it and put it on YouTube or something.
Pervert.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just trying to add to your story.
Well, Jeremy's name is soiled now. So
I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm so sorry.
So he was in his tent.
It's just a nervous reaction.
Yeah, he was in his tent and some animal brushed up against it and it freaked him out. So he started running. And he finally found this old building and he went inside and it looked like it was reported that it was an old schoolhouse. And he ran as far as he could. He ran to the wall because he was terrified of whatever was brushed up against his tent. But when they found him, he was full of holes. And
oh, no.
Yeah, he had been poked. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like Facebook poked?
Worse. Worse. Physical poke. And the news was callous. Sad. They reported it with the Pearl Jam song, Jeremy's poked in class today. And so what ended up happening is his body was strung up with a bunch of sticks and it was in the tree. He was in the tree. He was the Blair Witch Man.
Oh, so sad.
Oh, man. Anyway, so now we have Randall joining us. He comes out of the bag of producers.
Hi, Randall. He comes out of the bag.
Jack, Sydney, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about the taglines that you were talking about. I don't want to step on any toes, but I think I got a good one.
Please.
Here.
Go for it.
Twas the nightmare before Christmas, and not a creature was stirring except for the Pumpkin King.
Oh, I like that.
I like the double tie. Yeah. Use the rhyme or use the Christmas setting.
The old children's book. Yeah.
Okay.
I like
what
it.
What's the nightmare before Christmas? It's got the title of the movie in there.
See, there you go.
It's working in the angles.
I think he should write the second.
That's the name of the show.
I think he should write the second one.
Yes.
We're going to get this
definitely.
Going.
Definitely. We've got tons of time and money. We got this. Woo!
Let's get those animators back on the set. Let's get another 3 years going.
They're not busy. They're fine.
You guys ready for some crunch time?
Don't have any.
Oh, my God. Yeah, think of the arthritis.
But their fingers have to be broken at this point.
The arthritis is acting up.
If we get any.
They're like 25. They won't move anymore.
He's got the claw hands, yes.
The claw.
Like, my fingers hurt. And you'd be like, well, you just got upgraded to lawnscaping duty.
Oh, goody. So
happy Gilmore reference for anyone out there.
Oh, thank you. Got it.
Well, Nightmare Before Christmas. It's like a trip down memory lane.
It is.
You've seen it too, Randall, I presume.
Oh, yes. When I was a wee lad.
In the 90s? You sound like you're a little older. I just don't mean to.
Well, yeah. I was a little older, but still, I was a wee lad whenever the law was involved. I didn't want to be tried as an adult.
We got a 50-year-old wee lad over here, Sid. I might have fucked up with getting this producer. I'm sorry.
Oh. I told that test screen as a younger man.
Okay, we need to start the show.
Yeah, I don't want to get incriminated in here. Don't say too much.
Okay.
Statute of limitations and all.
Luckily, you have the power to edit. Okay, so.
Jack, I will have you know, I only took 9 pages of notes for this hour and 16 minute movie, which is huge for me.
Yeah, that's a lot of pages for you, yeah.
Okay, shut the fuck up. Anyways, so we open on a forest with holiday trees in a circle. And I have an interesting fact about this. So in the movie, our little opening narration is by Santa. So it's Edward Ivory who played Santa. But in the soundtrack, which I listened to later today while I was cleaning, the narration is done by Patrick Stewart.
Oh.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have liked to hear that. That's...
I know. I'm like, it's probably more convenient to use a guy who's already there. I get it. But like, also, it's Patrick fucking Stewart. He can narrate whatever he wants. That's fine with me.
Absolutely.
But for the movie, Edward Ivory, who is Santa, is narrating to us. And he's telling us about there was once a time when each holiday is its own town. So you've got Easter Town, Halloween Town,
Thanksgiving,
Christmas Town. Yeah, thanks. Like, they're all there, and each tree has, like, a little, like, a heart for Valentine's Town or a Christmas tree for Christmas. You get the idea. And he's saying, like, basically, I'm going to tell you the tale of one time when some dude decided to wreck the order of everything. And that's basically what happens, because I didn't write the actual. We're going to go into Halloween Town.
The best
town. You write the actual words down, Jack?
No. I'm not leading, so of course I didn't.
Off, Jack. Yeah, I agree. I think Halloween Town would be my favorite town too. I'd like might hop over to Christmas Town every once in a while, but I'd stay in Halloween Town.
Let me rephrase that. The idea of it sounds the neatest. And then when you get into this fucking dirty ass town, it's like, this place is disgusting. It's nasty. And its inhabitants.
She is a little grim and gray. That's true. Ooh. But nonetheless, we are going into Halloween Town, so we enter the tree with the pumpkin on it, the jack-o'-lantern on it, and Danny Elfman just gives us glorious music. So our first song is taking us through the town of Halloween while they're like ghosts and vampires and witches and goblins are all singing like, this is Halloween, this is Halloween, which, again, y'all, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's cute. It's not scary.
No. And this is like the song, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah. Like Marilyn Manson did a cover of this song, by the way. I used to have it on my iPod back in the day.
Yeah, it's a slow down, you know, yeah, just.
Kind of, a little bit.
This is Halloween, murmur.
I'd say I sound just like him. So I did not write down the name of all the voice actors of each witch and goblin and werewolf, because there were too many of them. I just, the ones that had like the main speaking parts are kind of just who I went with. Yeah. So, but yeah, we're going with through the town. They're kind of explaining like, yeah, we make all your scares and stuff. So each town is responsible for each holiday, like creating it. So every year they prepare for Halloween and like what they're going to do, the scariest thing each time and scare all the kids. And I'm the monster that hides under your bed, that kind of thing. It's fun. It's cute.
And this like intro, you kind of get introduced to all the different monsters or inhabitants in the town. The design of some of these are so awesome. Like, they're such good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the one under the stairs is creepy, and it has like snake hands, like multiple snakes coming out of its hand.
Or the clown with a tearaway face.
The mayor is a good one, too.
Clowns weren't scary enough.
He's two
faced. Yeah, the mayor's great. He's like got a little smiley face, and when he's distressed, his face will turn around and it's in like a big manic frown. Like, that's wonderful. So we meet in the center of the town. As our song comes to an end and there is someone pulling in a wagon with a scarecrow on it with a jack-o'-lantern head, and he lights on fire and then hops into this little fountain and pops up. And this is Jack Skellington, who is the Pumpkin King. And again, he is the rock star of Halloween Town. Mm-hmm. You've got a mayor, but like Jack is, I mean, he's the Pumpkin King. Like, he is in charge. Everything is his idea. I don't know if that makes him the governor or something. I don't fucking know. But Jack is it. He's our head man. And like I said, his singing voice is done by Danny Elfman. His speaking voice is done by Chris Sarandon. And then the mayor is voiced by Glenn Shaddix. So.
Who plays Otho in Beetlejuice.
Oh, really?
He's the designer guy that comes and stays the weekend with them. Because I was curious like who the main people were. Or that were featured on IMDb. And I was just... So again, back to the, like, Tim Burton seems to work with the people that more.
Yeah, true. And I'm pretty sure he and Danny Elfman are friends.
That makes sense.
Or at least friendly, but... Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Thank you, Jack.
Sure.
So the mayor tells Jack Ellington, not Jack, my co-host, great job on Halloween this year. It was our best one yet. And Jack's like, oh, thanks. Yeah, it was great. And everyone's giving him tons of praise. And he's very charismatic. But then he just kind of backs up and pulls away as he's got some fangirl witches coming at him. He kind of slips away because the mayor's giving awards. But
yeah, it's disturbing.
Jack is a little bit despondent.
Everyone loves him. And I think he just burned that social candle a little bit. Now he's time. And he's like, God, it freaks away from me.
Yeah, I think he's a little burned out. He's a little tired of doing the same thing every year, because that's the thing with each holiday town. There is no variation. You're doing the same thing every year. So I get being a little worn out. Let's see. And Sally's there, too. And Sally is voiced by Catherine O'Hara. And she's kind of like, she's Frankenstein, but prettier. She's like stitched together with yarn and everything. But it's...
Yes.
Basically, the conceit of Frankenstein's monster is that's who Sally is. Thank you, Jack.
This is my Billy.
Sally's your girl. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Sally's cool as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sally's in the town square and she's kind of watching all this. But before she can go after Jack, because she sees him slip away, she gets yanked aside by the evil scientist, who is our Victor Frankenstein stand-in. And he is voiced by William Hickey. And then he's like, well, the deadly nightshade you slipped me wore off. So she's been like dosing him because he won't let her leave his monster castle, basically, because he's like, oh, you're not ready yet. He's a control freak, basically. He just wants to have a little friendo that won't leave.
Exactly. Yes, it's Jack. Finkelstein's like slave, basically. That's what she is to him. So,
yeah. So she keeps drugging him so she can go have a life, which valid. And he tries to steal her back. He tries to like, okay, you're coming home with me. But because she is held together by string in certain parts, she just like unties her arm and it pops off and she like runs away. She's stuffed with like leaves and stuffing, which I thought was really cute because it's not too scary. It's still a kid's movie.
We'll remember that when we come back here in a little bit. Kid's movie.
Kid's movie. Kid/young adult. So... Sally is now that she's escaped the evil scientist, she's in a graveyard. She's got her arm, but she didn't bring needle and thread. I like, too, that this movie, along with Jack's, because Jack's dilemma is the main dilemma, but we also get to see, like, Sally grow and gain her autonomy as a character, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
She's trying to fix her arm, but she doesn't have needle and thread. But then she hides because she sees Jack coming into the cemetery. And then he, like, walks by this grave that says zero, and he, like, calls, and it's his little ghost dog, and Zero is very, very cute.
And we did mention this before, and I'm convinced because of the whole, like, he uses the same actors and everything. This looks just like Adam in Beetlejuice when he has the elongated face. Very Zero-esque.
Oh, it does!
So I wonder
Zero's
if the design...
face looks... Yeah, looks like Alec Baldwin's monster face.
Yeah. So I wonder if they kind of, like, reuse that or something.
Look at all these parallels you're drawing. I love it.
Oh, you know, I parallel pretty hard. So it's, you know.
I see that. Yep. Or I hear that, rather. No. I guess I see it. I can see you. It'd be weird if we tried to record this without being able to see each other.
It'd
be awkward.
I wouldn't be able to see all the middle fingers.
I know. Something would be lost. It wouldn't be as magical if I couldn't flip you off and have you see it, Jack.
I might not get it, and I might just keep
be like, oh, she thought that was really funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's silence. That means keep going.
That means keep going. So Jack Skellington is walking through the cemetery, and he's brooding and singing, and Zero is just kind of following along, and Sally's watching him. And then his song ends and she pops up behind the gravestone to say, like, I know how you feel, but Jack's already fucked off. So she.
Yes. She talks so quietly, I can barely hear her, let alone Jack, who's like walking away.
Yeah.
Away from her. She's
got a crush.
Yeah. Jack is her Billy. So it's a very confusing string of Billies we got going on here.
Except Jack isn't toxic. Well, a little bit he is.
He
definitely doesn't listen.
This has the iconic, the hill that unfurls as he walks down with the moon behind it.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Definitely, that was like a nostalgia hit for me. I was like, I definitely remember this part. Not, I mean, it's the cover of the movie too, but.
Yeah, it's It's very Tim Burton-esque. It's like, if you haven't seen it, he's walking up this, it's not snow yet, so it's just this hill, mm-hmm. and then there, it's like curled underneath, and like the curl unfurls, and it this very thin path that Jack just walks down, yeah. and it's so cool.
And to describe Jack, he's like extremely tall, pencil thin limbs, so he's very, very lanky.
Yeah. They really leaned into the skeleton part of it. He's got to be like 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So since Jack is gone, Sally collects more nightshade, deadly nightshade, so that she has more knockout drugs for the evil scientist. And she goes back to his castle and he's like, oh, I knew you'd be back, like, because you had to get your arm, and he's stitching her up. And she's like, well, I can't help it that I dosed you. Like, I want to go out and see the world. And he's like, oh, you're just restless and it'll pass. You're young. And so he's sympathetic, but not really. He's like, you're fine.
He's thinking out in this moment, like, at some point I will let you leave and like go do your thing, but like, you're not ready yet. But I don't think there's any allusions to that. No. Like, he wants her to stay there.
Yeah, it's just words to placate her. So then we're back to Jack and Zero. I like that Zero is still a dog, even if he's a ghost dog. He's restless, so he wants to play fetch. So Jack like pops out one of his ribs or something, and he's just starts playing fetch with Zero with some of his bones, which is great. And then the next day, the mayor arrives at Jack's house, but Jack doesn't answer the door. And the jazz players tell him that Jack hasn't been home all night, because there's just this little trio of jazz players that stand outside of Jack's house and constantly play music. And I also love this detail that like all the music is in minor chords. So even when they're trying to play a cheerful song, it sounds like a bummer.
It's pretty sad. Yeah.
I love it. Also, and I'll just say this, but like one of the saxophone player is played by Greg Proops, who, if you ever watched Whose Line Is It Anyway, he is one of the improv comedians on there, and it's a very, very funny show. So he is. Yeah. So Jack is not home, and the mayor starts to freak out. I love that one of the lines Samara says is, Jack, please, I'm just an elected official. I can't make decisions.
Yeah. Which it goes along with the two-face thing too, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So his face has flipped around to the distressed side, which is funny.
He's either happy or sad. That's it just keeps going.
Those are the only two. Yeah. But now we're back with Jack, and he has walked all night through the forest, and then he comes upon the circle of the holiday trees. And Zero, like, kind of doesn't want to enter the clearing. He's a little anxious, but, of course, Jack just does what he wants. So he charges into the middle of the circle, and he's looking around, and he's seeing all the trees, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Like, we've only ever, what do you mean? Like, there are other worlds, basically? So he's considering each tree, and then he sees the Christmas tree painted on in the circle, and that is the tree that catches his attention, because it's got like tinsel and little ornaments and everything. It's very sparkly, very different from what's in Halloween Town.
Yeah, color. So, there's color.
Basically, it's not orange and black. Like, there's other color. What the fuck is this? So he opens the door, and he like doesn't go in yet, and he turns to Zero, but then like a wintry breeze with snowflakes on it pulls him in.
And he weighs 2 pounds, so he, of course, he blows
inside. He also weighs 2 pounds. Falls in. Yes, that's very true. And then I just wrote, and then he loses his shit with joy. And it's so cute. This might be my favorite song of the movie.
Really?
Because he's running around I love this song. He's running around Christmas land. He's seeing, like, they're preparing for Christmas, and there's lights, and there's presents, and everything is full of joy and snow. Just, what's this? What's this? And I don't know. It's a great song.
Yeah. Yeah. What's this is always a great. Yeah. And it's funny because halfway through he's like slinking into people's bedrooms and like, what are they doing? Oh, they're sleeping. Oh my gosh. That's so cute. What's this? He's like just going all over the place.
I just love that he shouted, what's this? Next to a child's ear who was asleep. And the kid wakes up like, what the fuck?
What?
But he's genuinely excited. He's not in there to like create malice. This is just a whole new world for him. So
he does.
He's exploring.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I was just gonna say at the tail end of his song. If I'm going too far, just let me know. He hears Santa. Well, he doesn't know it's Santa. Ho ho ho! And he's like, "What the?" He like sees a shadow, so he doesn't see Santa, but he hears it and he learns about Santa. I mean, we get the exposition dump later when he goes back to Halloween Town, but so he,
yeah,
this is like his encounter with Santa Claus.
Yeah. And kind of learning that each holiday town has their own leader of the holiday town. Yeah. So like Santa, Easter Bunny, Jack, the Pumpkin King.
Oh, Valentine's Day. No. Hardy. Oh, Cupid.
Cupid. Sure.
Yeah. Duh. Mm-hmm. Hardy. Wow. That's I should have done marketing for these fucking things.
Hello, my name's Hardy. Welcome to Valentine's Day Town.
If I get in between you, you'll like each other.
Make room. So, yes.
Is your bed big enough for Hardy? Sorry.
Oh, Hardy, get out. This is not a party for three. It's a party for two, Hardy. Hardy's a pervert.
Well, would you rather have a flying guy snipe you from afar? I don't know.
If it doesn't hurt, maybe. And it also depends on where you're pointing that arrow. Like, point it at someone who's going to be nice to me, please. Not someone who's going to be mean to me. Say.
Just make sure he doesn't, you know, shoot somebody's feet. And then suddenly they got fit.
Oh, no. That's where it started.
Mm. Hardy, watch your aim.
Like someone,
damn you, Hardy.
Someone bumped into Cupid, and that's how that started.
That's how we got hurt. Oh, they missed and hit the feet instead.
Yeah.
Mm, you know, that explains a lot.
Oh no, he's an ass man.
Oh no, Hardy, no. Anyways, Hardy's adventures aside, we're back in Halloween Town now. Where the fuck was I? Oh, and the mayor is panicking because no one can find Jack, and this, like the mayor said, he can't do anything.
This is so good, though. He's like, there's only 365 days left until we plan the next one. Because he's looking for Jack so he could plan the next Halloween, which literally is a year away.
Yeah.
And Wolfman corrects him. He's like, 364. And he's just like, oh. Like he's in despair.
Oh, God. It's even worse. Yeah, that was funny. So he's, making an announcement to the town. Like, we got to find Jack. Everyone start looking. And they sound the alarms, which the alarm was so creative because when the mayor is sounding the alarm, he's winding up the tail of a black cat statue with his back arched. And it's just, it's great. So Sally hears the alarms and she decides she wants to try to help. So she makes a concoction. She makes soup for the scientist to knock him out. And apparently, like, frog's breath will cover the scent of anything. So she brings the evil scientist the soup and he's like, wait, this smells like frog's breath. Like, you eat it first. And she's like, yeah, man, totally. So she knocks his spoon to the floor and then, like, pulls a fake spoon out of her sock. Gross. But the spoon she pulls out has holes in it. So she basically just, like, pretends to take a bite. And the scientist is like, great, he's convinced. So he downs the entire bowl of soup like a little glutton. And then it's knocked out.
The sounds. You're, like, choking on the soup. And it's – the soup, it looks disgusting. It looks like the water that
it's Jack green.
It's green. It's, like, glowing nuclear green.
Yeah. Not very appetizing.
No. But Finkelstein liked it. I don't know.
There we go. So now we're back in the town square and Zero comes in. He's running in barking and then Jack is pulling in with a big bag and he basically calls a town meeting. Sally escapes and attends the meeting and Jack is telling Halloween Town about Christmas Town. And he's like, yeah, no, Christmas is great. Like, they put up presents, they put up lights and stockings. And they're like, oh, does the stocking, like, have a foot in it? Like, do the presents have, like, a dead head? Like, how are we using this to scare people? And he's like, no, you don't get it. It's joy. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, oh, fuck it. And so, and he's like, yeah. And then there's Santa, who's super scary and, like, rules the town with an iron fist because he recognizes Halloween. Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. He recognizes Halloween Town. People can't conceive of anything else, which is interesting, too, that only Jack and Sally have a bigger concept of, like, joy and all this exciting stuff because Halloween Town is very much like, oh, how can we scare people and hurt people? And
that's so,
you know, it's all in good fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then he goes off stage and he's kind of bummed that, like, no one really understands his Christmas vision. And Sally is kind of concerned because she's like, she gets it, but also you're messing with something that's completely different and this could be a problem. Jack doesn't give a fuck. I liked this scene, though, because I completely forgot about this scene. The next scene is he's in his house, his little Jack Skellington house, and he's in his bed, and he's reading different, like, Christmassy books. He puts away A Christmas Carol, and he's trying to, like, learn the ins and outs of Christmas, and he's just decorated his entire place with, like, Christmas lights and baubles and all that fun stuff. And then he looks up Scientific Method, and he's like, I understand how the fuck Christmas works. I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out.
I
just liked it. It was cute.
Do you think he checked those out from the Halloween library? Halloween Town library?
Right? Like, where did those come from?
Or did Amazon? He steal them from Christmas Town? Because why would...
Oh.
If those books existed in Halloween Town, surely someone would have cracked a book and known
about
it.
Well, maybe
it.
Christmas Carol did. It's a ghost story.
Oh, yeah. There's some scaring in that. So, yeah.
Especially, like, there's a book at his feet. That looks like he's going to get back to later. And the book is titled, Bobo Gets a Fire Truck.
It's just
not a
Jack.
Traditional Christmas read, but it's one I am interested in.
Like, I would like to know how that ends.
Tell me more about Bobo and his fire truck.
Indeed. Maybe that's from, like, Valentine's Day land. Or 4th of July land, maybe. I don't know.
I wish there was a 4th of July land.
Fire,
town.
Fireworks.
Yeah. Just an explosion. Because he would have gone through that door, right? Over anything else?
Probably would have. Maybe that's his next journey. I see, if you had to live in one of the towns for the rest of your life, I think once you found that wood, you could just, like, pop in to the little land and, like, spend a day in Christmas land, spend a day in, like,
I mean, they're able to
Saint
go
Patrick's
back
land.
And forth. St. Patrick's land.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there was a little... Shamrock on one of the trees.
There should have been sequels.
Is that where you would go?
No.
No.
I'm going to go hang out with Hardy.
Hardy's a freak.
Says me. No, there should have been sequels where he goes to each one of these.
I mean, I would watch that.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Total setup for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see Thanksgiving, like how they represent that. Is the turkey the...
He's just a big turkey waddling around like, oh, hello.
And then they kill him to eat him. Like,
oh, God, not again. Yes.
No, Disney did suggest a sequel. Shortly late, early 2000s. But they wanted to do all computer animation. And
good call.
No.
Tim Burton wasn't having it.
Good so call, Tim.
Detective of Nightmare. You ain't doing that shit.
That's good. That would have totally ruined it.
Surprised they didn't, like,
taking the vibe out.
Take him to court to do that. Because Disney's very sue happy. I mean, you make this or we're suing you. We own you, Danny and Tim.
Yeah. Well, it also hit, like, cult classic peak, I feel like, in the early 2000s. So that makes sense that it was around that time. I'm glad he didn't do that.
Yeah, good for him for standing up saying that. Because it would have ruined it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, so now we're back in the evil scientist's house, and he locks Sally up. He's like, God damn it, stop drugging me. I'm locking you away. You got to quit. You gave me a headache. Then he's interrupted because Jack comes to the evil scientist's house. Sorry. And he wants to borrow equipment because he wants to see if he can scientifically figure out what it is that makes Christmas Christmas, which was also adorable. And then he goes home with the science experiments and he's like crushing up an ornament and putting it in a beaker and it turns green. He's like, very cool. What the hell does it mean?
But what can I do with this? Yeah, he's like freaks out.
What does it mean?
This part was so great. Really stuck out to me. I remember this very, very vividly from when I was a kid. Because I remember him like looking at the little cranberry thing where he squishes it. Like he pulls out all the instruments and I don't know. It was just interesting because there's like beakers and all this stuff. But all the experiments he did, I just like vividly remember that as a kid for some reason.
That's crazy. I don't remember that. I remember the graveyard with like the cool hill and everything. And I remember him and Sally and obviously what comes later. But I didn't remember the science-y part of it. I was like pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So
he's doing the legwork, Jack is.
That's right. He is seeing what he can do. So Sally escapes. We're back with Sally. And she just... kind of jumps out of the window, but she learned to sew herself up now. So she's got a needle and thread and sews her arm and leg back on. So yay, Sally. Get your autonomy.
The like detail here is amazing. So like when she sews herself, this goes to like they each frame's like a tiny movement. So they like show the needle actually going into the hole that it came out of. Like that's how like accurate it is.
Yeah.
It was like, man, the attention to detail for that was crazy.
It's intense.
Just to because it'll come up later. She made a bottle of something. She got some alchemy skills. She's like mixing stuff.
She's a witch.
Yeah. So she makes a bottle of something, puts it in the basket, and there's other stuff in there. The basket gets lowered down. I thought this was hilarious. She lowers the basket down to like protect it and then just like flings herself out the window. it's like I don't care about myself, like, but that bottle.
Girl. Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. So she heads over to, well, the scientist finds out she's escaped and he's pissed, but who cares? Yeah. She heads over to Jack's house and then that basket, our co-host Jack was just talking about, she pulls it up on a little rope and essentially raises it to Jack's window and he takes the bottle and the bottle, when he opens it, it lets out like a little green butterfly and he's very charmed by this. He knows it's Sally.
Sorry.
Huh?
Hibiscus is what? I don't know.
Is that what it said?
No, it was just a butterfly. So I'm guessing. Sorry.
Sorry. Cute. Jesus.
After 50 episodes, I still like got this shit. Right.
Don't interrupt. So he knows it's Sally because he saw her, but then he goes to thank her after he's like charmed by the butterfly and she's gone. So he goes back to his little experiments.
He was doing some like hard Christmas mathing too, because he has like a blackboard and it's like eggnog times tinsel square root of gingerbread cookies. He's really taking this seriously.
He's very dedicated. So she hides, but not really, because she's just sitting in the entrance of his courtyard against a wall, and she plucks dead thistle and she like makes it into a little Christmas tree. And then it goes up in flame and we learn like that's her having a vision of like if he goes through with this Christmas experiment, it's going to go horribly wrong, which spoiler. The next morning, she slept there all night. She looks up at his house and he's still Christmas brooding and he has decided to make Christmas in Halloween Town. He's like, we're going to be in charge of Christmas this year. Fuck Christmas Town. Why do they get to have all the fun?
And
so he called everyone to the town. Yes, Jack. Yes, Jack.
When Sally's outside the kind of like hanging out, she woke up and then the entire all the residents are like, something's wrong with Jack. Like they're all like singing a song about how they think something's going on with him. And this is still during his like trying to figure it out. Anyway, then he figures it out. We'll bring Christmas here.
Yeah. That's true. They do pepper in just like a lot of there's some of the main songs and then some of it's just like little bitty songs to let you know how the townspeople are feeling too. So yeah, true. But since he's decided to bring it here, he wants everyone in the town to line up. He's going to give them a job for making Christmas. He has the scientists make the reindeers. And then each town member, like once they get their job, they start singing like making Christmas, but it's like the most depressing song. Making Christmas. La la la. Oh my God.
They're
Christmas is scary.
Butchering the song. Yeah.
It's so good. So he calls up three trick-or-treaters. And these trick-or-treaters are kind of notorious for being little assholes.
Oh, I caught on pretty quick.
So we've got Shock, Lock, and Barrel. And Shock is actually voiced by Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, okay.
Lock is voiced by Paul Rubens. And then Barrel is voiced by Danny Elfman. So I like that they give people multiple characters to kind of play with. And he gives him a special job. They're going to go kidnap Santa Claus to, like, give him a vacation from having to be in charge of Christmas this year because Jack's going to do Christmas. And he's like, treat him nice and don't involve Oogie Boogie. But, I mean, obviously they're going to involve Oogie Boogie.
So Jack, not me, part of this is like, I think Halloween is just so deeply ingrained in him because he wants to give Santa a vacation, quote unquote, but then he's like and he does like an evil face and it's like, okay, are you actually evil or like what? I don't, sometimes it's hard to tell what his actual motivation is. Like he wants to spread the Christmas cheer, but then he does like an evil face.
I think he means well, but yeah, the Halloween nature is still ingrained all the way down there and he can't quite separate the two.
to his bones.
It would be like, yeah, it would be like if Christmas Town tried to do Halloween. They would try to make it scary, but it would come off as like, oh, it's kind of cute. It just can't. It's their nature. So, Lock, Shock, and Barrel, the three trick-or-treater children who are creepy, they go to Oogie Boogie's house because they work for Oogie Boogie. So,
yeah.
Again, I'm not sure why Jack assigned them, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then they start singing this goofy little song about, like, kidnapping Santa Claus, Sandy Claus. And it's creepy as hell. They're like, I know, we'll make a present and we'll put three scorpions in it. And when Santa Claus gets curious and opens the present, they'll sting him. And then we'll capture him and bring him back
here. Yeah, and all the lyrics are like, get him in a box, lock him up for 90 years, find out what he knows. Like, it's like, Jesus Christ, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Fucking torturing Santa.
Yeah, well, some kids are assholes. Like these three kids. Oh, they do summon Oogie Boogie, who is played by Ken Page. And Oogie Boogie scared the hell out of me when I was little, by the way. But Ken Page just, like, chews all of the songs up. He's so good at this. It's excellent. So the three children take a walking bathtub into the forest go kidnap Santa Claus. Yeah, that was cool detail.
And before they left, they're throwing in, like, maces and axes and, like, shackles. Like, another part I, like, vividly remember. I don't know why. Well, it's kind of striking, I guess, but.
Yeah, that's true. So now we're back to Jack, who is trying to teach the band how to play Jingle Bells. But again, everything's in minor key, so it's just sad and scary. It's so good. And then Sally is trying to warn Jack. She's like, look, I had a vision. This isn't going to go well. And he's like, no, Sally, it's going to be great. You're the, because he wants her to make him a Santa Claus costume. He's like, you're the best seamstress in town. Like, you're going to be so good at this. And she's like, no, this is a bad idea. And he's like, it's not a bad idea. I wouldn't trust anybody else. Like, he's purposefully not understanding what she's saying because he's excited. Whatever. And then she's trying to explain again, but the kids bust in and they're like, we got Santa Claus. And it's this huge pink rabbit who is scared shitless. And they've kidnapped the Easter Bunny because they went to the wrong town. This poor rabbit, he's like hiding in the bathtub, shaking. And Jack's like, I'm so sorry, sir. We'll get you back home.
Yeah, rightfully, he's like kind of chewing out the kids. Like, you idiots, this isn't Santa. Yeah. I told you to go to the Christmas one.
Stupid. So they bring the Easter Bunny back home. Hopefully. We never see it, but I'm going to assume the Easter Bunny made it home without incident. They cooked that motherfucker.
There's no way they brought that back.
Maybe. Like, I wouldn't trust those kids, but. Mm. So the town is preparing for Christmas and singing their making Christmas, la la la. It's so good. Everything, like, they're making toys, they're making decorations, but, like, it's like a with, like, bloody teeth that the vampires make, or it's. God, what were some of the other presents? One's like a dead rat that they made into like a little hat or something.
Beautiful.
It's just creepy.
One was a turtle with tire marks all over
it. It was roadkill. Yeah.
This one needs to be fresher. That's the ticket.
This turtle's too dead.
A fresher dead turtle would make a better present.
Obviously.
Make some turtle stew.
There you go.
I like too that this is like interspersed with cuts from Christmas Town where they're preparing for Christmas. So they're making like normal toys, making a Jack in the Box, and then the creepy clown is making like pumpkin jack o' lantern Jack in the Boxes.
Yeah, so it was just a cool contrast.
It's like the one for one. Like they make this type of toy, and then they make the same one, but like spooky and terrifying.
Yeah, I like that too. And now we are in Christmas Town and we're at Santa's house and Santa's going through his list like naughty, nice, 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 naughty. And then there's a knock on the door and it's Lock, Stock, and Barrel and they kidnap him. Whoops. So we're back in Halloween Town and Sally is making Jack's outfit and she's trying to tell him again, like, hey, this is a bad idea. And he's just ignoring her. And the kids return with Santa, who does not want to be there. And Santa is also trying to reason with Jack. And he's like, this is stupid. I don't want a vacation. Take me home. It's Christmas Eve. And Jack's like, shut the fuck up. You're going to be fine. Enjoy your vacation.
It's like, dude, this is the one day he works. The rest of the year is the vacation. So I don't understand the logic behind that. Like, he's on vacation most of the time.
True. Well, otherwise. Yeah, because he has to plan, but he's got all the people to – Christmas Town, a lot of other people are doing the work. Halloween Town, Jack is doing a lot of the work.
Yeah, which he I don't know. Doesn't like anymore. He's bored with that. So I guess there's that.
Yeah, stealing jobs, Jack Skellington. So he tells Lock, Stock, and Barrel to take care of Santa, like pamper him, treat him nice. And they're like, great, no problem. The best person we know is Oogie Boogie. So let's take him to Oogie Boogie's house, which – you know that's not what he meant. Next, Oogie Boogie has a song, and it's glorious and terrifying. Santa gets tied up. Oogie Boogie is in, like, the theme of an evil casino, basically.
Yeah.
So Santa is on this giant roulette wheel, and Oogie Boogie's scaring him and singing at him, and it's fabulous.
Santa's pretty composed for staring down the barrel of, like, a couple tarantulas. A right? snake keeps coming out, like, trying to – like, his tongue is a snake, so it keeps, like – I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Oogie Boogie's
Santa's
kind of
seen shit. Some shit. Yes. He's scary, yeah. Especially as a kid.
I guess we should describe him. He's like a flour sack with, like, eyes. Like, that's basically what he is. But we're led to believe.
A burlap sack.
He's full of bugs and shit, which is disgusting. Or because he keeps eating them.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I interject just a little bit here? So, with Oogie Boogie. There's been a lot of references loosely to Danny Elfman and all of his musical tie-ins mm-hmm. with this song. But it's interesting. I was reading up a little bit. I was doing my homework, doing my due diligence. So Oogie Boogie is a lot like Oingo Boingo, which is Danny Elfman's band that he was in.
Okay.
And Danny Elfman was the king of Oingo Boingo. Until he didn't want to do it anymore. He wanted to do something different. He wanted to stretch his wings a little bit and do movies and soundtracks and everything. So you have the pumpkin king of Halloween Town who's getting tired of Halloween, wanting to do something different. And the king of Oingo Boingo who is also wanting to do something a little different. So there's a lot of loose tie-ins with this being kind of an homage to Danny Elfman himself.
I didn't know that.
Very interesting read.
Yeah, I knew about the band, but I didn't put that to. That's all. Thank you, Randall.
Hmm. You're most welcome.
I'm going to come in with something like dumb that I, as a kid. So I didn't.
Oh, okay. Great.
As a kid, I never picked up on the gambling stuff, like the roulette table, the dice, of course. He rolls the dice all the time.
Oh, yeah. He does.
But never really the gambling thing. Didn't really. Just went right over my head.
Yeah, I don't think I did either as a kid. Just the dice and that he scared the shit out of me.
You weren't a big gambler as a 9-year-old?
Why not, Jack?
I come played Jack.
Hitting them craps tables? Jack playing jacks? Jack on Jack on jacks, man.
Ooh, shit. It's too many jacks.
All I got is tracks, man.
We only need the one, Jack. That's you.
I really thought you were going to say Skellington right there.
No, I don't record this podcast with Jack Skellington. That'd be weird. I'd probably get locked up for talking to a fictional animated character.
Or even a skeleton. Like, yeah.
Or a skeleton. That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Anywho.
Like a different rendition of Psycho. Maybe.
It'd be fun until I got locked up.
In your basement.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No.
Never hurt a fly.
I wouldn't even hurt that fly. So good. If you haven't listened to our Psycho episode, please go back and do that now. Thanks. And then come back to this one because it's our 50th. Woohoo. So now we're back in the town with Sally, and Sally is still trying to stop Jack because Sally's a good friend and she has a crush. So she has this big vat of fog juice, which I thought was super creative because then she pours the fog juice into the fountain and it like spreads fog throughout the town, and it's like, oh no, Jack can't fly now with his reindeer because there's too much fog. Until Zero, that little shit, comes up and he's like, Zero, your nose is glowing. You'll lead my sleigh. Zero is a Rudolph stand-in. Yeah. Get it? Oh, that's cute.
The fog juice also makes people foggy because the mayor's reading, like, I pronounce this day Jack Skellington's gonna go spread Christmas, and that. As the fog, like, spreads, you can't, like, read the letter.
Huh. Yeah.
So it's it makes your mind a little foggy.
I didn't even catch that. Ah, look at that. And catch that. Good check. Good job, Jack. Holy crap. Okay. So Jack takes off anyways. Sally is sad and sings a sad song. It's called Sally's Lament. And it's been stuck in my head for the last hour. And she's basically singing about like how Christmas is going to be fucked and how much she wants to be with Jack, but it's not meant to be. Poor Sally.
It's a pretty emo song.
Yes.
I think that she is. This movie created emo.
Quite a bit of covers of that song, too.
Oh, so many. Evanescence's
front woman Amy Lee covered Sally's song. Mm-hmm. Blink 182 mentioned Sally in one of their songs.
Oh, yeah.
There's another band, Dark Sanctuary, sang Sally's song, did a cover of it. So did London After Midnight. I mean, my God, this list goes on.
Yes. This movie inspired a lot of people in our generation.
Lacuna Coil did a cover of This Is Halloween.
Yeah. God, it went everywhere. Pretty much.
Jonathan Davis of Korn did a cover of Kidnap the Sandy Claus via webcam.
Santa Claus.
Kidnap Santa Claus really need that double bass pedal.
Obviously. So meanwhile, Jack is flying to Christmastown and he is trying to be Santa. So he's dropping presents off in people's houses, but the gifts are fucked up and scary and they're terrifying the children. He puts a wreath on a old lady's door inside and the wreath starts like attacking her. And it's just, it's funny and it ramps up. And then there's a news broadcast out that like the military is going to take down this faux Santa and don't worry and all this stuff. And it's...
We would do that it's today. Good. Yeah. We'd declare war on Santa now if we saw him flying around and shoot him down with artillery.
Hmm. Yeah, because Christmasland doesn't know anything about all these other places, so they think it's someone terrifying.
It's just ironic that the happiest town is the most reactionary.
Hmm. Okay, anyways, so there's a cauldron in Halloween Town, and so the town is gathered around because they can kind of spy and like watch Jack. And Sally hears the broadcast that the military is going to try to take down Jack. She's like, oh, shit, we got to go. I have to go free Santa because everyone else in this town is stupid. So I have to go free Santa so he can help me go save Christmas, basically. So she goes to Oogie Boogie's house. And this was clever. She like takes off her leg and she's like waving her leg at him through the window. She's like, hey, and Oogie Boogie's distracted.
Well,
and she
The bag of bugs was hit by Cupid's foot.
Yeah.
He shot the foot.
He's in the legs.
He's in the legs. Yeah.
So she undoes her hands and the hands come down and they're trying to free Santa while Oogie Boogie's distracted. And Santa sees Sally. So he knows not to like freak out. This person is trying to help him. But then Oogie Boogie catches them. Uh-oh.
He's tickling the foot. He's like, goody, goody, goody. Like that's Oogie Boogie's freak. Like mastermind plan. Yeah, I know. See, that's what I'm saying. Cupid.
Oh, yeah. Not a nice man. Or nice bag of bugs. So then we're back in Christmastown, and Jack at first is like, oh, they're shooting like cannons at us to celebrate that we're here. It's fireworks. They're excited. And then they hit the display, and he's like, wait, they're shooting at us. What the fuck? So Jack's sleigh gets hit, and he goes down, like it explodes in a fireball. And the people in Halloween Town can see this in the cauldron, and they're like, oh, fuck, Jack's dead, and everyone's grieving.
And what is?
And the mayor also announces that Jack is dead.
Very, very quick for the mayor to just like...
He's reactionary. Back in Christmasland, they cancel Christmas. They're just like, I'm sorry, Christmas is fucked this year. It's not going to happen, and it's just... images of like kids crying and it's very sad.
War on Christmas, whatever.
Okay, it made me sad. I was like, oh. And Jack is fittingly has landed in a graveyard and he's landed on this angel statue. The angel statue is holding him bridal style as he like comes back to life and is singing about like how he tried and it sucks that it failed. And he's like, but wait, I still did some cool stuff, even though I messed up. So like, I'm fine, and I'm back, baby. Like, I'm Jack the Pumpkin King. You're like, yeah, you are. Good job, Jack. Like, this movie made me happy.
So, okay, this song is a great example of how you speed things up in a movie. it's a woe is me song that transitioned to like, well, I did some stuff okay. And then it's like, no, that's right, bitch. I'm the fucking pumpkin king. Like, he like does a full 180 on one song.
Yeah. That's a good point. It
should take note because you could cut out a lot of fucking fat from these.
Well, he is a skeleton. Yes, that's a good point. It does speed it up a lot. Yeah. Good plot device.
Love it.
And now Jack's like, wait, I can save this. I'm going to go back to Halloween Town. So he doesn't have to go back to the trees. He just pops into a grave and is suddenly back in Halloween Town. Like, oh, okay.
He climbs into a crypt. So there's other entrances to Christmas Town and presumably the other,
I guess,
holidays.
So now Sally and Santa are in peril. They are both tied up to some board with their hands over their heads. And
Oogie Boogie's like,
yeah, it is very James Bond style. Like, oh, yes, Mr. Bond, I've been waiting for you. So he's like rolling dice. And he's like, okay, if I count it down, then you're going to get launched into this pit of lava,
looks like lava
basically.
Yeah.
And he gets snake eyes, so he just cheats. And he's like, oh, never mind, it's 11. You die. Hooray. Jack gets to Oogie Boogie's house, and he saves them. But then he and Oogie Boogie have to face off, basically, and they're running around the roulette, the two life-size roulette table, and facing off all these things. And then he, like, catches Oogie Boogie's string on a knife or something, some whirling device, and it unravels Oogie Boogie, and it's just a bunch of bugs that fall into the lava. And then Santa steps on the last bug. So good job, Santa.
Yeah, this was like kind of traumatic, seeing the unveiled bag as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, Jesus, that's terrifying.
That's scary. Yeah. And then Jack is begging Santa for forgiveness. He's like, I'm so sorry. And Santa's basically tells him off. He's like, you need to listen to Sally next time. And then he's like, yeah, of course I can fix Christmas, dumbass. I'm Santa. Bye.
Santa's pissed.
Fair enough, Santa. Yeah. I would be too. So Jack apologizes to Sally, and then Santa, of course, fixes Christmas very quickly. And then the mayor rescues Jack and Sally, brings them back to the town square, and Santa does gift Halloween Town a final gift because he's Santa, and he lets it start to snow in Halloween Town. And so they start playing What's This song again, and it's very cute. Like, all the Halloween Town people are, like, playing in the snow that they've never seen before. Adorable. And then Sally is not one for crowds, I guess. She's still sad for some reason. So she dips out, and Jack follows her, and they go back to that graveyard with that really cool hill. And Sally's up on the hill, and she's kind of like sad and singing to herself. And Jack's like, can I join you? And then they sing together, and then they have a little kiss under the moon, and the movie ends. And it's so cute. Sorry. Ta-da.
It's good.
It is good. And this is a good one, too, if you're like, want to watch a Christmas movie, but you don't want to lean into the schmaltz. Like, this is a good in-between.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, you get to see Finkelstein scrape his own brains out into his doppelganger that he's making. Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I kind of skipped that part.
Christmas.
That's right. He makes a little friend that he designs to be a lady who is his caretaker, and he gives her half his brain.
Exactly. That part is creepy, is because he shows up later where his doppelganger is pushing him in a wheelchair, and she's dressed up like, you know, his wife. It's like,
it's a little weird.
Wait, you guys are sharing half a brain, or like each have half a brain. So what does that mean? Oh.
Yeah.
Cupid, where are you?
What's going on? But I did like during that part when he's making her that he's like puts half his brain in her little metal head, and he goes forward to kiss the brain and the top half of the head slams down on his lips. I'm like, that's right. That's what you deserve. So yes, if you haven't seen this movie, you should all watch it. It's a good time. And if you have seen it, it's a nice like nostalgia hit to go back and watch it. But Jack, Sally and Jack Skellington are our final femmes. So what did you get them to drink?
Well, I think if they drink, one is going to go straight through them and not do anything. And the other is going to get the inside leaves wet. So I don't know how much they're going to be able to get from this. But what I would give them is just some fog juice with moonshine. Like it's Pretty simple. Like, you know, chug that fog juice. So you go on Amazon. No, fuck that. Fuck that place. You go to your local mom and pop fog juice dealership and you.
Obviously.
Yeah. So, like, you know, the liquid you'd pour into your fog machines, just grab a jug of that, pour some moonshine in, shake it up, call it good.
Oh, you're going to be dead on the floor.
They're already dead. They can't be any more dead.
Well, that's true. You're right. Different rules for them. All right. Well, thank you.
Now, if
does it have a name?
If you left Santa some fog juice, you know, fog juice and cookies, maybe they'd have some problems there. Mm. No, I just made that up. So I'm just going to call it fog juice.
Okay. It's
really inventive. I know.
It's perfect. I love it. So I went to lifeshehas.com. And she made a Jack Skellington cocktail. Then it is 1.5 ounces black rum. Shut up. 3/4 ounces of creme de coco, de cacao, whatever. 1 cup of ice, 1 drop of black food coloring, 3 tablespoons of marshmallow fluff, and 1 peppermint stick for each glass as garnish. So you add the rum, the creme, the ice, and the food coloring to a martini shaker. You put the marshmallow fluff on an appetizer plate, heat it in the microwave for 15 seconds. You wet the rim of the martini glass with water. This is too complicated.
Wow.
You dip the bowl of marshmallow fluff and let it drizzle down the glass. Give it 3 minutes to set, and then you pour all the liquid into that glass. It's fancy. I'm not going to make it, but it's fancy.
I like the peppermint. That sounds good. Chop on one of those sticks.
I'd try it. If someone else made it, I'd try. But I'm not going to make it.
Damn right, yeah. This took me 30 minutes. Oh, done. It was pretty good.
You're like, oh, God, my life's work. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for sticking. Oh, yes, Jack.
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, I think we both had glowing opinions about this movie. It was very good.
Yeah.
Very nostalgic. I was just going to ask what we're going to gander next here.
What we're going to gander next here, Jack, as I've just pulled the list up. Nice try.
Damn it.
I know. It's going to be Lost Boys. 1987 Lost Boys. Vampires, baby.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you going to be gone the next episode after that one?
I have a feeling. Shut the fuck up, Jack. Anyways. Well, everybody, we just really wanted to say thank you for sticking with us for 50 episodes. It's really exciting. We've had a really good time doing this. Yeah. And yeah, so thanks for being here.
Jack. If anyone wanted to like wish us some happy 50th episode, where would they contact us?
Okay, I was giving you a chance to say thank you. Anyways, you can find us at Final Femme Podcast on Instagram or email us at finalfempodcast@gmail.com. You can give us star ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We really appreciate it. Yeah, and we're grateful for all of you.
I am too. I want to make that we'll clear. I didn't think that came through. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Everybody, and welcome to the Final Femme.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Did you just fucking interrupt me?
I wasn't ready.
It did my clear the throat thing and everything.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work. Finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.